The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Man.
Is the expectation
years, changes, anything like that in light of the slump?
In regards to what?
Well, operationally with the coaching staff, working with the players.
Yeah, no, not at this time.
Inspire, I guess.
We always try and do a better job of inspiring them. I don't have a problem with our efforts or our intents. We just have to do a better job of coaching these guys to be more fundamentally sound.
It was the we press conference. We this, we that, we the other thing. We got to coach better. Poor coaching on our part. Tyler, it was the wee-wee press conference.
Wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
As someone on the text line said, at least we are all miserable together.
Wee-wee. What is that from, Kevin? No, that's awesome. Wee-wee. Wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
Hey, you know, it sort of was wee-wee, but even if you go back to, see if you can grab the very first question, all right? And if you go back to it, he starts off by saying fundamentals on defense. Well, what does that imply? Our players weren't executing. Our players weren't doing the things that they need to do, right? Our defense was out there. They just did not do their job. And then you follow it up with a little bit of a cop-out of the aspect of it by saying, and, you know, that's on us as coaches that we need to coach the fundamentals into them. You know what fundamentals is representative of? You can't do the most basic things in football. And as coaches, we don't really think that's on us to teach you how to do the most basic things in football. So although you're right, he definitely made an emphasis to try to say we. Even the first one, I think he was absolutely pointing the finger at the players.
Oh, I know what he believes. What do you think? He believes that he's screwing up? The coaches are screwing up? He clearly thinks it's the players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how he's operated.
And you know what? There are a lot of players that are not playing good football right now.
That is true, too. Both things can be true at the same time.
It's always a collective effort. It's never just one thing. This is the greatest team sport in the history of mankind. So it does take everybody. And I'm not saying the players are innocent here, but I do think at the end of the day, the Bucs got to stop somewhere, and that stops with the general, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah. Yeah, and sometimes it's not the general's fault, necessarily. Other than, here's the bigger problem.
No, hold on.
A lot of people will say, oh, it's only game 7. And I say, no. You don't understand, man. I mean, you're a team from the time the season ends till this time. We're actually, you know, 10.5 months, Tyler, into basically this year in terms of how to change the culture, establish things, and execute.
You say a lot of times it's not the coach's fault. Fine, true. A lot of times it's not. It is right now. Right now it is the coach's fault.
Oh, that's right, because they've had 10.5 months to figure this out.
Forget the fundamentals. Forget all that, okay? Let's go back to what happened at the very beginning of this game. Kevin Stefanski, in a game in which there's 30-mile-per-hour winds, he's got a backup quarterback in the game, and the likelihood of scoring is very, very low. Everybody knew that the over-under on that game was 40. The likelihood that you're going to take the ball and go score is insanely low. Every team in the NFL, the majority of teams in the NFL right now, if you win the coin toss, you defer. What did Kevin Stefanski do? He took that ball with Case Keenum as his quarterback and 30-mile-per-hour winds.
Love
now, you
it.
Say I love, it.
Oh, I love
I,
it.
I think that's a really dumb decision unless you are saying, unless you're kind of putting in some middle fingers up and you're saying to Vic Fangio, hey, I saw your stuff on film. It's pathetic. I got a plan for you. I got a plan, and he did. He had a plan, and it only took 5 plays to expose it.
I always, but this is a philosophical thing that I have that a lot of people disagree with, so what's new? I have never understood the option to defer. I get it with the halftime thing. I get it. But to me, it's like, wouldn't you always want to just have the lead as often as possible?
Well, a few things. I could understand your point of view, D-Mac, but you got to understand the full picture of what was going on there. This is not you took the ball with Peyton Manning at Empower Field. That's not what was going on. You were not sitting in a situation where you had a good, healthy, effective offense. You had 30-mile-per-hour wins at a backup quarterback. You took the ball knowing darn well that your odds of scoring are insanely low. So I understand what you're saying. You want to go out there. You want to set the tone. But, you know, there's a reason why coaches defer, because the most important thing in all of football is the double score. If you could score at the end of the first half and you get the ball back, you score again, game over.
Yeah, I know. I just disagree with it. I think the more powerful thing is to play with the lead as often as possible.
Even with Case Keenum as your quarterback and 30-mile-per-hour wins.
I would just philosophically do it in any circumstance. I would never do it.
That was 100%. Even the Browns don't do that normally.
They
made that decision because of what they had scouted on film.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to fight you on it because I know this is the most common thing. In fact, it's common because it
makes sense. It's common because there's logic behind it.
It's so uncommon that the team actually takes the ball. Like, when it did happen to start the game, it was like really?
Yeah, you did it with a backup quarterback with 30-mile-per-hour wins. You really thought you were going to march down the field and score on Vic Fangio, the highest paid defense in the NFL?
Yeah,
apparently he did.
I thought it was interesting, too. The first two plays of the games were both throws. So is Stefanski just saying, up yours. This is what we're going to do.
Sure.
We're going to dictate the terms.
I got Case Keenum. I don't care. I've seen your secondary. It's been bad.
And my guess is likely that was what Stefanski emphasized during that week, too, that probably got his players pretty hyped up. Is that if we can do it, this is what we're going to do, and this is why we're going to do it. And you know what? That's how they played. How did the Broncos play? Wee-wee. But let's get to some of your reaction. Well, if you missed the press conference, we can play some more highlights of it. We were wondering, Tyler, who is even going to step up to the podium?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is even going to be there? So let's get to all that coming up next.
Hey, guys. Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big-time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Yeah, they did, and it's the second week, maybe third week, that we've given up a score on the opening drive, and you know, we just got to continue to, you know, work it out. You know, we play great teams each and every week. It was defeating, but I feel like we rallied, and we still gave ourselves a chance to win this game at the end. We just weren't quite able to get off the field on third down. We weren't quite able to stop the run. It's tough. It's a hard way to go out.
Yeah, because the defense couldn't stop the Browns. Vaughn wasn't out there. We got to give the Cleveland Browns some credit for maybe a quality troll.
We're getting trash talked by the Cleveland Browns Twitter account. Are you kidding me?
So they put up a picture of Blake Hance, who went against Vaughn, with a picture of Hance going against Vaughn, and we're like, heartbeat fine, yeah. You know, temperature fine. Looks like Blake's okay, still alive.
Yeah, it says body temp, check. Pulse rate, check. Breathing rate, check. Blood pressure, check. Status, still alive, and it's him blocking Von Miller.
Two tackles for Vaughn. Thank you. Two tackles for Vaughn and a quarterback hit.
You know.
And then an ankle injury. And then he said he could have gone back. By the way, how about this? Hold on a second. So Teddy Bridgewater plays when he's obviously injured, but Vaughn could have gone back in that game and he didn't? What's up with that?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know what's going on there or the severity of the injury. That's a good observation. I do want to be fair, though, here, okay? I told you I was going to watch Vaughn very, very closely, and I was going to come back, and I was going to give you my honest evaluation of it. I know that he's catching a lot of heat right now because he talked a big game, and he didn't go out there, and he didn't get the stat line. He only played one half of football. He's catching a lot of heat, but I want to keep it real with you. I'm going to give you my honest opinion of his performance. Vaughn was balling. The Cleveland Browns had a game plan for him, and they were going to make life difficult. They did what we should do when we face off against guys like Myles Garrett, when we face off against these top pass rushers. They came out, they double-teamed him, they chipped him, they corralled him via formations, and they did everything in their power to neutralize number 58. So they had a game plan for Vaughn. He had very, very few opportunities in the first half to get a one-on-one rep. And he still found a way to get darn close to the quarterback. So I totally get anybody that wants to talk trash because Vaughn talked trash, but I'm going to keep it real. Given the circumstance and given the game plan that they had for him, he still was finding a way to get close to the QB, even with all that.
All right. Well, okay, cool. You sort of give credence then to, like, if it really wasn't that bad, then why the hell wasn't he out there then? I mean,
Oh, I don't know about the injury. I mean, yeah, I'm not speaking anything about that. Whatever happened there, I don't know.
Well, this is what Vaughn said.
Yeah, the angle's good. You know, I feel like I could have, you know, toughed it out, you know, got back out there and, you know, done some things to, you know, help my team win. But, you know, taking the, you know, advice of, you know, the great doctors and the great trainers that we have, you know, they decided to keep me out. You know, my pride is hurt more than anything. You know, I talked a lot of before, you know, this game, and I made it, you know, personal, and I wanted the animosity. I wanted this to be that game. You know, I wanted to win it. You know, I was going to leave it all out there today, and, you know, we did some great things in the half. I felt like I was, you know, on the way to, you know, doing some great stuff in the second half, but, you know, got hurt, and, you know, hats off to those guys. You know, they ran the ball. You know, they had a lot of key screens in there, especially in the first half and in the second half, and we just weren't quite able to get off the field on third down, and, you know, we weren't quite able to lose the run. I mean, to stop the run, and, you know, that's how we lost
it
today.
Well, if Vaughn was kind of okay and felt he could have played and it's 5 minutes to go in the game and you're down a score, why isn't Von Miller on the field?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a fair question. I have no idea the severity of the injury. Maybe Vaughn's downplaying the severity of the injury because he wants to come back next week. Maybe it's more significant and the training staff actually held him out. He is saying that he wanted to come back. He's saying he tried to come back, that they held him out. I don't know. I think that's a fair question for you to ask, especially considering Teddy Bridgewater played in the game and he was clearly hurt. I'm just going to keep it real based off the performance of the first half. That's all. That's all I'm talking about here. Some people on the text line don't want to hear it. Well, I'm telling you, you weren't watching. He absolutely did some work given the circumstance for the game plan they had for him.
Okay. What are, and yeah, hey, no offense, Friday. Go ahead, throw it out there. 303-713-1043. From the Wee Wee press conference.
Wee Wee!
But, what's some other, significant takeaways aside from the fact Vic still has a job?
Well, the main takeaway was that just sounded like another day at the office for that presser. That honestly, that was the main takeaway. When you walked away from it, when it was all said and done, we hyped it up, they were delayed. They moved it back an hour.
Right.
So your antennas, the radar, it's going off immediately. Why did they move it back an hour?
Right.
Okay, you and I, we kind of had some common sense about it. We're like, I really don't think it means anything. It's probably just late night, whatever.
Right.
But then they were late after they moved it back an hour.
Right.
So, okay, now at this point, you and I, now our radar is going off a little bit.
Right.
Maybe there is a little something that's going on.
Right.
And then they come out, and honestly, we're talking about injuries, we're talking about defensive performance, we're talking about whatever. It just felt like another day at the office. I don't know why it was like that, but that was my initial observation. The presser just did not go in the direction I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I think there were some conversations there today upstairs in the palatial Dove Valley offices about how to approach things, what we really have going on. Yeah, they're hurt. They're injured. Maybe they are using injuries as an excuse, by the way. Maybe that really is what's going on.
It feels like it.
I know they love to say next man up and all that crap, but maybe they're using it. Like, what do you want me to do here?
Or they're convincing themselves of that, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So they're not that's using right. it as an excuse, but
right.
Hey, man, we're good coaches. We've got good scheme.
Yeah.
We know that it's not us.
Like, let's look at the film. Let's look at Justin Strnad. This dude doesn't know where to be.
Yeah. I mean, Justin Strnad, by the way, was lost.
And by the way,
was absolutely lost.
Micah Kaiser's going to be out.
Yeah.
Like the fill-in.
Right. PETA's going to be playing next week. So the injuries, like, the, like they're real.
Yeah, there's some legit ones, for sure.
I do understand that.
Yeah.
But you got to overcome it, and that's when true coaches, the best coaches, that's when they shine, because your game plan, your scheme, mm-hmm. your X's and O's will find a way to cover up your deficiencies.
All right, your time to shine, 303-713-1043. Let's get to it. No Offense Friday. We'll roll next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Wee-wee! Song always gets me. It always tricks me.
Yeah, but
you know what I thought it was going to be, right?
My song went bum, 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 bum.
Oh, is that the difference?
That's what the Vanilla Ice said.
Okay. Oh, she came second. Got it.
He said it's bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't stop hearing it. But now that you say it, there should be a bum, bum.
Under pressure, the Broncos and Vic Fangio.
Are they?
I think they are, actually, yeah.
Yeah?
They got away with this one. No changes today. You know what? I didn't think there were going to be any changes. But you got 10 days before the Washington football team comes to town, and they're on their own downward spiral for so many reasons.
Here's the deal. I mean, it's crazy to say this, but you've got Washington coming in 10 days, right? So you've got a lot of time to fix whatever issues you've got going on in theory. Like, look, even with the stuff we've got going on, we could beat Washington. We could.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of
course. Right? So, of course, you could beat Washington. Then you got to go to Dallas. Probably going to lose that one.
Seems impossible.
Yeah. Doesn't look good. But then on the back end of that, you got Philadelphia. And it's like, okay, so in theory, you could win two out of your next three games. Gosh, that seems like so impossible. That seems so far-fetched right now on the slide that we're on. I mean, on a four-game slide, to say that you could win two out of your next three games mm-hmm. seems insane. I'm not even predicting it. I'm just saying that the possibility is out there. And then you hit the bye, right? So if you were to win two out of your next three games, mm-hmm. hey, man, everything's been reset. And the pressure is actually off. There is no more pressure about somebody getting fired. You're going into the bye week. You've mm-hmm. got optimism.
Yep.
However, like, let's go to the other side of it. All right, we're sitting here right now. You and I believe that Vic Fangio had a talking to.
Okay? Yeah, I do.
I can't prove that. I don't know if you got something.
No.
I can't prove it.
No.
I'm reading the tea leaves. I'm listening to the way he talked. The tone was plain and simple different. He sounded like a dude that just got a talking to.
Yep.
I know what that's like. I've been there. I've had a talking to before.
That's why we're calling it the wee-wee press conference.
Right?
Because that was the difference in tone. And it was more humble, too.
Here's what it feels like to me. It does feel like, yeah, there was a talking to. It does feel like, hey, Vic, look what's on the horizon. You got two games that are very winnable out of the next three. And then you're going into the bye week. Honestly, if you don't win two out of the next three games, how do you not make a change then?
Oh.
I mean, look, I think change should have been made today, personally. I didn't expect change to be made today, but I wanted it.
Yeah, there's some nuclear.
That's a hard word for you, isn't it?
No, I say it wrong on purpose.
Do you do it on purpose?
Yeah.
So say it right.
Nuclear.
Oh, okay. All right.
Do you think I really say strategery?
So I guess I say so many things dumb that when you've got a rare word that you mess up, I'm just like, oh, thank God. Like, he messed up too. But you always do that one that way. And I never understood why you did it that. Like, is there a movie? Is there a storyline behind that?
No,
why do you do that one that way?
It's just a goofy one. It's just a word that's been mispronounced over the years that I think is funny to mispronounce. That's
like
all.
Athlete.
athlete.
That's how I say athlete.
Right, right.
Yeah, I know the correct way to say
it. That's wrong too.
But I say athlete.
Yeah, I like saying nuclear. Strategery and organization.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's stupid. The nuclear.
I never knew you could say that right.
Meltdown would be to lose the next three.
I mean, could you? Sure.
Yeah. If you go nuclear and lose the next three, the reason you make a change is simply financial, because people are not going to show up at football games for your game, your home games. What do you got left there? You got the Chargers. Detroit.
We had two of these things for like a day.
Really? Where did the second one go?
I mean, it took me 6 weeks to get the second one, and then the second one disappeared.
You can keep that. So you stem the tide a little bit. Oh, you got another one, Kevin? All right,
what do you know? What a guy.
There it is, right there.
You took it back, though. Yeah, did you take it back? Who took it back? Name a name. Look, today's the day to point a finger, not a thumb.
That's right. Wee-wee. Wee-wee, Kevin.
Wee-wee.
And by the way, we are not allowed to make three of these. Two is enough.
Who? Nate? Is that what you said? They took it. That's good.
Wee-wee.
They took it.
That's good. They.
You're applying your standards to an irrational situation. Never do that. Really? Bear fan. What up, Bear? Really?
How's that going?
What part of the Grilly Bears are you asking about?
Never mind.
Yeah, I know.
I got my own issues.
I know.
I like when I say my own, I'm not even referring to the Broncos. I'm referring to my Buffs. That's what I'm referring to. So
yeah. How about wee-wee on that one?
Like wee-wee.
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 Wee-wee Buffs.
Wee-wee.
Wee-wee UNC. Wee-wee CU. Wee-wee CSU. Wee-wee Denver Broncos. Thank God we got the Nuggets, and thank God the Avs are going to turn things around here.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to the Nuggets game tonight.
That's right.
Got dressed up a little bit. I'm headed on down there. I know ZB will be there. Rachel will be there. We got full coverage for you. Got the post-game show. Got the Spurs in town. Come on now. Excited.
You going to let the dude punk you on your seat tonight?
I don't know.
Are you going to put your foot down?
No.
Like if somebody just puts their food in your spot, are you going to go sit by the stairs and take a lonely photo?
Or
are you going to put your foot down and be like, hey, dude, I've been here. I claim that. This is the second game in a row that I've been to. That's my spot.
For a Nuggets game, no, I will cower in the corner. But let me tell you, for a Broncos game, by the way, this past weekend, I showed up at the Broncos game. I do the pregame show that I love doing with Mike. Takes a little bit to walk into the stadium from there, Tyler. We take it right to kickoff.
Yep.
So I'm going to come in hot halfway through the first. Always have. There was just a dude sitting in my seat. And I knew where my seat was. And I just looked down at him and go, what are you doing?
See, that's actually a bold move because I have been in that press box many a time.
Yep.
And there is all kinds of space.
Yep.
I mean, if you wanted to just be a decent human being and walk down like maybe 15 feet to the next section.
That's right.
You easily could have had an entire row to yourself.
No doubt about it.
Okay. But I'm proud of you for putting
your
seat
down. It was he goes, oh, is this your seat? And
well,
I looked
at it.
I don't know.
You don't even know.
Just a dude.
Wow.
He goes,
gotta be an out of towner.
I go, whose seat are you in? I don't know. He looks up at me and goes, oh, is this your seat?
Well, it's mine.
And I go, I got my name on it. and he goes, oh, sorry. And I didn't say
the passive aggressive.
Yeah,
approach.
It's got my name on it.
Like when you sit down in a stadium and you go to your seat and you know somebody's sitting in your seat, how do you approach this? Do you say, hey, did you have section 18, row 3, seat 9? Or do you say, hey, I've got section 18, row 3, seat 9, right? There's two different approaches to it.
You know, that's such a great sports talk question, like how to handle that. It all depends kind of on the situation, the availability of other seats, the quality of the seat in the first place, and your intention and who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of factors that go into it. But in this particular circumstance, I got a little bit more territorial rights when it comes to the Broncos.
As long as there is a seat within the realm of my original seat, I never say a word. I just go find another seat.
What if they're really great seats and it's pretty tight and, you know, you'd have to take a significant back seat to that seat?
Well, then beat it, bum.
No kidding. I agree. There's a whole thing.
Right.
There's a whole thing. Trust me, at a Nuggets or an Avalanche game, they let me in the building, I'm happy. I'll sit anywhere. I won't argue. I won't tell anybody. I'll say nothing.
Right.
Broncos, a little different.
Yeah.
Rockies, I don't even have a choice. I just go sit in the bleachers.
What do you mean? You don't have like front row VIP seats?
For the Rockies?
Monfort? Like, are you sure you're not in the Monfort suite?
No.
You pretty sure? You confident about that?
No, I'm confident about that.
Because it kind of feels like you sit side by side with Monfort. Like you and Dick, buddy.
Hey, you would think I would have heard it,
where are we going after the game, Dick?
Right, exactly.
Huh?
No, I get it. McGregor Square? How about McKee Plaza?
Right.
No. You would think. No, is the answer.
You guys have done nothing wrong. I love you, Dick. Everything is awesome.
Red Sox.
Red
Sox tonight, baby.
Don't you talk about my Rockies. Oh, you said they're not trying. See, now you're going to press my red button because you could say that they're not good, but when you say that they're not trying, you're going to press my, if you want me to go off, I'll go off.
Is this your D-Mac impression, by the way?
I'll go off.
Is this it?
If you want me to go off about the Rockies, I will.
Uh-huh.
But only when you accuse them of not trying, I'll yell at you. I'll show some passion at you for being mad at them, but I won't ever get mad at them.
Hey, with those tiny little arms you have, can you point fingers with the T-Rex arms? It's a we or an us? Or fingers and thumbs?
Overcame the shortest arms at the combine my entire career for 8 years, buddy.
Do that?
That's right. Everybody doubted me. The whole world doubted me because of my short arms.
And then at the combine, you decided to do exactly what you needed to do to prove people wrong.
Fall on your face.
Okay, more of your comments on the No Offense Friday coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station. 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Time for our injury report presented by Spine One. Von Miller apparently is doing okay. The news we got today was that Micah Kizer will be out, and we also, Mike Purcell, maybe out, maybe not. It looks like it's going to be one of those weird deals where he's got a thumb injury, and because he's a D lineman, and like, I guess it doesn't matter. They're going to just put in a big cast, and maybe you can play anyways, because you just got to be a big dude and just stand there.
I did dislocate the same finger 3 times in one game and only missed 3 snaps because of it.
There you go.
Third time, put that dang thing in a cast.
And?
Well, then I finished it off.
There you go.
Right.
You play?
Yeah.
You keep playing?
Shanahan came up to me. He's like, hey.
Right.
Third time.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay?
Oh, third time's a charm.
It wasn't really like, are you okay to play? Because, like, of course he assumed, like, hey, dude, you dislocated your finger. You're fine. It was more like, hey, dude. Are you going to get this under control? Like, stop letting your finger snap out of place.
Yeah.
Like, what wrong
finger
with
is
you?
It?
Oh, it's this guy right here.
Oh, that's pretty straight, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, ironically, my pinky's got a little some. This thing, it was at an L, then it was up, then it was down, all in one game.
There are some ex-NFL guys. The fingers and toes are like, oh, my Lord.
My fingers came out okay.
You look fine.
My one pinky.
How are your toes?
My toes are gorgeous. I mean, I get a pedicure every Monday.
Look at you. And I'm sorry, what?
Nothing.
Wee-wee!
Okay. That's your injury report presented by Spine One, your one-stop shop for neck, back, and joint pain. Mike Kliss, as part of the press conference, he notes, Fangio said he had talks with George Payton, Joe Ellis, and John Elway. Quote, yeah, we've talked. All very constructive and productive. We all want the same thing. We want to get this team back to winning. Okay. I guess the timing of that chat is just kind of up for debate.
Why did Mike tell us that they didn't have a talk to do?
Well, this might be a semantic sort of thing. See, is a talking to everybody doing what they always do and getting together in a room and talking, is that a talking to, or is that just a meeting?
That's a meeting. That's a meeting. And I'm sure that George Payton has meetings with these guys on a regular basis. So, okay, but that's also not newsworthy. If Vic Fangio has a meeting with George Payton, that's not newsworthy because that's just routine. But if they have a talking to, that's newsworthy.
I think it could be a little bit of a combo meal here. Follow me just a second. It's a meeting with those guys where things are pretty clear, like, it ain't good.
You went to your normal post-game meeting.
Yeah.
And it was on schedule and everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't unannounced.
Right. So it's not a talking to because, however.
No, I think it was a talking to.
I do too. But the way they may be spinning it is, no, this is something that we do on a regular basis, which absolutely could be true. But I think it might not even be one of those guys, but I think it was made clear to Coach Fangio, hey, man, you got to take some blame here. Like, you got to say we. This got to be
we.
Instead of just they. We got to throw some we out there.
It does make you wonder, like, what was the nature of the defeated / sort of depressed attitude, right?
It sounded like he was sick, too, by the way. He might be just exhausted.
Oh, absolutely. He sounded sick. Here's the question, right? Now, did he sound depressed? Did he sound a little bit different than he normally does because he's on a 4-game slide and that's what all NFL coaches would sound like? Or did he sound depressed because he just had a talking to? Here's my gut.
Yeah.
Most coaches, even when you're on a 4-game slide, you get up in front of the media and you take control. And you act like the leader. You act like you've got things under control. And, you know, I really don't even have an issue. Like, I kind of make fun of him for dismissing you when you ask about change. I make fun of him for it, but I really don't have an issue. That's fine, man. I mean, he's in control of that ship. man. And if he wants to make sure that there's no storylines, go ahead, dismiss things if you want to dismiss things. But when you come out the next week and all of a sudden you sound radically different, hey, I don't really have any choice but to believe that somebody had some stern words.
So No Offense Friday, 303-713-1043. Put no offense in front of it. Anything can happen. No offense. Hey, guys.
Just don't talk about the Buffs.
That's usually,
I'll probably
not a problem these days.
I'll probably take that serious. Like, I don't even know if you could say no offense in front of the Buffs, and I'd be okay.
You're putting me on the spot to ask you who are they playing this weekend.
D-Mac, don't mm-hmm. just right. stop.
Don't
what,
ask.
Like, what right. is wrong with you?
Hey, guys, what is disappointing about the Broncos is the lack of aggression on defense. Where are the blitzes? Well, let me just throw the defense thing at you, period. I get it.
By the
it
way, was an opportunity, just for the record.
An opportunity for what?
For the Buffs is the answer, but I'm nervous. It's another team that's only got one win.
Who is it?
Cal.
Oh, okay.
Home it's an opportunity.
Home or away.
I actually don't know that part.
The defense.
Yeah.
17-14 game, and it's funny, I put it out there because I got a brain in my head that last night's loss was on the defense. And it's, what are you talking about, D-Mac? They only gave up 17 points. Shelby Harris blocked a field goal attempt, and the Browns were sliding down before scoring a touchdown, taking their foot off the gas because they just wanted the game to be over. And I get it, a penalty was called, but you can see what their attitude was. They weren't being overly aggressive to score more points. They didn't need to. Then you look at third downs, 9 for 15 on third down. You look at time of possession, 13 more minutes of time of possession. And the Browns had 9 penalties. They made a lot of mistakes. But our defense had no turnovers, and they gave up 188 rushing yards, including 144 rushing yards to D'Ernest Johnson, who had 11 rushing yards going into the game. D'Ernest had the night of his life as he got shouted out by King James on media. Mm. No, with 5 minutes and 19 seconds to go and a couple of timeouts in your pocket to use, the Broncos needed to stop the Browns, who were starting at their own 26-yard line.
Isn't that the truth?
And they couldn't do it. And so, yeah, that is on the defense.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you entirely. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you a pin that the offense had some sort of dominating effort out there. They did not. Teddy Bridgewater did not have a fantastic game. But guess what? When it all came down to it, when the pressure was on the line, who showed up? The offense did show up in the second half. Teddy Bridgewater did look better in the second half. The offense did get some drives. No, I'm not excusing their offensive performance. That's not enough points. It never will be enough points. You could never expect to win a game with as few points as the Broncos had. However, when it came down to it, you had your head coach with his unit out there on the field. And it wasn't even a question, man. I mean, all you could even give up a first down or three. All you couldn't do is let them eat up the entire clock or let them score. Those two things. And with 5 minutes play and some change, you let them march down the entire field and eat up the entirety of the clock. When you're only down by 3 points, that's flat out inexcusable. And it's happened many, many times. Many, many times when the game's been on the line, our defense has just not been able to find a way to get a stop when the game was on the line.
Maybe there's some props to give out here. How'd Bulls do? So I'm seeing that.
I've heard some people giving them shout outs.
Okay. All right. Why not?
Should have had at least 3 holding penalties.
No,
and they were egregious.
All right.
Egregious. I don't even know how they didn't get called. That's how egregious they were. Now, he was going up against Myles Garrett, so
yeah.
Everybody's going to get beat. I really don't have an issue with him getting beat by Myles Garrett. I'm going to get beat by Myles Garrett. Everybody's going to get beat by Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
But the type and style of holding penalties that should have been called were the old school hook your left arm around his neck, turn his shoulders back to the line of scrimmage. We had a big gain on a screen pass, should have been called back. There were a couple others that honestly, was I the only one that saw this? Like, I swear, I feel like I'm the only one that saw Bowles have his old school left arm around the dude's neck, pull his body back towards parallel towards the line of scrimmage. How it didn't get called 3 different times, I have no idea.
The Broncos had 2 first downs
You want some shout-outs? I can give some shout-outs, though.
Real quick. The Broncos only had two first downs in the first half. They were 0 for 4 on third down. They attempted 10 passes. So, you know, essentially it was going to be a quiet night for some of the defenders statistically for the Browns. Why? Because they were barely on the field. The Broncos were on the field for 8 minutes and 49 seconds compared to 21 minutes and 11 seconds for the Browns. I mean, statistically, you're not going to have a great statistical night, but you're going to be dominating.
Mm.
Give some positive shout-outs. Go ahead, sure.
Well, the one guy that really deserves a lot of credit right now is Courtland Sutton. And he hasn't really had a pat on the back like he deserves because there's been so much question around who this guy's going to be. Is he healthy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even before that, when Jerry Jeudy was coming, he was kind of hot on his tail. Who's going to be the real number one? Is it going to be Courtland or is it going to be Jerry? And mm-hmm. we're all sitting here predicting it's going to be Jerry Jeudy. You know, Courtland does not necessarily look as athletic as he did last year, or the year before that, I should say. But he is having a very quiet but solid year. I mean, that was one hell of a catch. Who catches that one-handed ball?
High-level guys.
High-level guys make that
play.
I'm not saying nobody, but yeah,
high-level guys. It's a high-level NFL catch. Sometimes when I'm watching a baseball game and a play's made up, that's a major league shortstop. That's a major league third baseman. That was an NFL, high-level NFL receiver catch.
That's right. He deserves a lot of credit. The other guy...
Great throw, too, by Teddy.
It was a great throw.
Great coverage.
Unfortunately, the next throw from Teddy was not good. That was the deep bomb in the middle of the end zone that I don't even know who he's throwing it to, but he was throwing it to Courtland.
He was. I mean, if nobody's there, Courtland might catch it.
Right. Yeah, okay.
But we're defending on a guy who's had a concussion, a thigh injury... a foot injury, and doesn't have that strong of an arm in the first place. Okay. What are we doing?
Yep.
What are we thinking here? And that's why I was convinced Drew Lock is going to start the second half. But they must just hate Drew Lock.
They must just hate him. I don't know what Drew was thinking. Maybe he was just thinking the obvious. He was thinking the same thing we were all thinking. Like, hey, there's no way they're not going to give me the ball. But when they came out in the second half, he sure as heck looked like he was getting warmed up, like he was getting ready to rock and roll.
You know what that reminded me of? You've told the story a million times. What were you told at halftime of that Chargers game? Or what was Peyton told at the halftime of the Chargers game?
Well, I don't know for sure what Peyton was told, but I was told at halftime in the locker room that, hey, when we come out, we're making a move.
Mm-hmm.
Both you and Peyton are going to go in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that Peyton was told the same thing.
Right.
We were not together when this conversation was had. So
we're going to give Brock one more of Schofield. They get one more, right?
Well, no, we weren't told that in the locker room. Locker room, I was told that I was going out in the second half, and then we went out there. I was getting warmed up. I was getting ready to rock and roll. I was looking like Drew Lock, or I was looking like Brock Osweiler when he couldn't find his helmet. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to give them one more series. And then Peyton and I went in the next series. So yeah, it did sort of look like that. Like he thought he was going in.
Right. And if they had a 47 second three and out drive, I bet you Drew Lock was about to go in that game, but they responded. The Broncos came out. Teddy Bridgewater, to his credit, the Broncos offense, to their credit, came out. And they put a great drive together, a long drive.
Best drive, scored
a touchdown.
Yeah, best drive of the game.
Crazy.
You ate up clock. You used the running game. You got both running backs involved. You had a touchdown throw to Melvin Gordon. And all of a sudden, you got yourself a ball game. It's 10-7. And despite all the negative energy, despite everything that's going on.
Here we are.
You have not only got a ball game. I mean, this thing is a tight race. And you've got the momentum.
Right. It's 13 plays. 79 yards. You made it a three-point game. Hey, defense, how about going to get a stop?
Mm-hmm.
You just had halftime. You just had a long drive. You should be ready. And what does the Broncos defense give up? 13 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, and you remember
how
that thing finished off. You had 4th and 3. The Browns were going for it. That was a questionable decision. I get it. And I guess if I'm the Browns, I do like it. I hated our decision to go for it on 4th down, but that one I got. Okay, so you're 4th and 3. You really have got them stuffed. There's nowhere for Case Keenum to throw the ball to. However, the pass rush isn't exactly tremendous, and he's got this vacancy down the middle of the field. All of a sudden, he scrambles around. He's looking like he's Lamar Jackson. He breaks a tackle, does a spin move, falls forward for another yard or two, reaches out, almost looks like he's about to score a touchdown, ends up fumbling the ball. They get the ball back, but it's just like, are you kidding me? Of all the ways for them to pick it up, it's going to be Case Keenum going around looking like Lamar Jackson.
I learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
Case Keesum. Keenum. I'm sorry.
KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. It's just after 5 o'clock.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.